encourage basically to be just whenever there's a negative circumstances or a challenge, we keep a positive attitude with God, trusting in his promises, trusting in his word to us, keep moving forward, not getting back, not stepping back, you know, in fear, but moving forward in faith, because we're basing our moving forward upon God's ability to do in his word to us. And, you know, God says, be strong. Like, you know, that record in Joshua chapter 1. I absolutely love that record. It's, you know, I got it up as you was brought it up. And I'll read it to you. Joshua chapter 1. Let's read it. And we know that Moses had died. And the children of Israel were mourning certain days, his death. And so God had to kind of get in there and say, okay, Joshua, look. First one, he says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord, Jehovah, spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Like, you know, it's the end now. Like, it's now it's time to move. He's gone. He's not coming back. He's dead. So it's kind of like a real harsh term in how he said it, but bringing them to the reality of where they are now. And he says, now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Now you imagine that you've been around someone with Moses' heart and life and walk before God, and you're still mourning the guy. You know, you have great heart and great love, and you're missing him. You're grieving. You know, there's a sting in death. But they still got a job to do, and God had to come in here and encourage the leader, which was now Joshua, to show the example, to move forward, to show full fat strength. But he needed to get his strength from God. It wasn't that Joshua had to do things in his own strength, effort, or ability. Sometimes when we're faced with situations or challenges, even those things up there with other people, then, you know, we could try and do it in our strength to keep moving. But when we let God work, then we can really have that inner strength. I remember when my mum fell asleep, that was the most terrible thing. And it was, again, Thursday. And it was, and we done fellowship on a Thursday. I still done my fellowship. God says, still do the fellowship. Don't stop. People need to hear still. And I did. And when we buried her, you know, it was a Thursday. We still done the fellowship. So it wasn't that I was disrespecting my mum. I was honouring my mum in a sense. But I knew that I needed to carry on and do what God called me to do, because that's what I was called to do, right? Anyway, verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, this is a great promise to Joshua now. That was Moses's, but now it's Joshua's. And God has given us all great and precious promises so that we can keep focused, we can keep moving. It says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon. So it could be like, okay, from UK to USA, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. It's like God saying to us today, giving us geographical locations of where our land is, what he's given us. And he says this. Now, you imagine God saying this to you. Put yourself in the story, you know, and allow God to work in your heart. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Who? Right, we know this is in the context of Joshua and the children of Israel. But put yourself in the story. No one be able to stand before you, Carl Morton, you, Ethel, you, Danny, you, Jason, you, Fan, you, Branda. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. How much more has God to us today this? How much more? A lot more, right? There's a different covenant now. There's a stronger covenant now, unbreakable covenant now. Even we can't mess that covenant up. And so God has just made this so easy for us when we understand it, that he's not there to judge us, put us down because we make mistakes. We know it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to change around and come the right way. Verse 6 says, be strong and be of a good courage. Now, keep moving forward despite these challenging circumstances in your mind and what you can see with your senses. Just be strong. You decide, you make up your mind that you're going to be strong. It's like I think a lot of people have had colds, flus, coughs and stuff like this, haven't we? I know I certainly have and a few other people around me. So I can either decide in that moment to be weak and, you know, moan and complain, or I can decide to take my rest when I need to take my rest and then do the things that I need to do when I need to do them. And that takes a bit of courage, right? It takes a bit of an effort, especially when you don't feel like it. But we know that we're not to be moved by our feelings, even when we don't feel like it. But, you know, as God is energizing and lovingly helping us, then we just move and do and execute the things that we need to do in a day. And it says, for unto this people shalt thou. No, yeah, he's got a job here. He's got an important job. And it says, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. See, God's made some promises before Joshua and all these guys. And he's going to keep his promises and he's going to work with the guys that believe him so he can fulfill those promises. And it says, only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, you're going to have to put some real effort in to believe in me and trust in my words to you, that thou mayest observe, pay attention to do, listen to the words, catch the things being said, catch the direction, to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever as thou goest. Because the word that Moses spoke was the words from God, was those words where they're going to prosper when they've done the things that was spoken forth by God through Moses. And it's no different to those of us that got the Spirit of God today, that when God is energizing something in us to speak forth to the people and they receive it, they prosper. So there's always been the book of the law, like with Ezra 6:14. You know, they had all the commandments to build the temple and everything like that. But it says that they prospered, the ones that were doing the work, through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and the son of Zudu. And so these guys spoke forth the word. They prospered through the prophesying. And this word prophesying is the only Hebrew word in the whole of the Bible, which means inspired teachings. What do you think we're doing now? What do you think I'm doing right now? I'm allowing God to work, for God to bring the words. And it's through these words that we prosper, that we get successful in what we're doing. Like it says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe God so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, the ones with the Spirit of God, the ones speaking by the Spirit, so shall you prosper. So the heavenly words, these words from God, is going to make us successful when we're humble to receive them, to do them, to put away our own ideas of the law or how God works or of what we're to do today, but just receive these words very gladly. And as we execute them, then we can move forward in great strength, seeing God doing the work by his grace. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? So he's encouraging again. He's really working with Joshua. He wants Joshua strong in faith, not weak in faith. He says, be strong. Look, you know, I'm giving you everything you need, but you got to decide to be strong in what I'm giving you. And be of a good courage. Just make up your mind to do that. I'll energize everything, right? Basically, God is going to do that. Be not afraid. And we know today that we got the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't let your thoughts be all over the place that there's no hope. God is our God of hope. He's our hope in our hopelessness, right? And he was Joshua's and the children of Israel's hope in their hopelessness, in their minds. You know, they just lost someone, they're grieving, all sorts of different thoughts are going through their minds. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua, after this great encouragement, commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. And he commanded the people, saying, so he was given direction. He was given the direction as God was energizing and showing. But going back up to verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. And this word meditate means to utter, to speak to oneself out of your mouth, you know, like whisper, just like when Hannah, when she went into the temple and Eli saw her muttering, but he didn't hear no sound. You know, he had to speak this. And it also means imagination, because the more that Joshua spoke these things that God said to him, the more his vision and imagination was built. Because faith is your imagination, what you see in your mind. You know, without vision, you know, people wander aimlessly, without the revelation from God. So this vision was given to Joshua right now. This direction, this revelation, the way to move forward, was given now here to Joshua. And all Joshua had to do was receive it and make up his mind to do it. And then it's like with us when we connect. You know, we connect, we give certain encouragement. And each of us could be challenged on that encouragement initially. But when we make up our minds, look, I really want to move forward with you, God. I want to do the things that you've called me to do. then I'm going to do this. You've got to make up your mind. There's got to be a commitment between you and God, not anybody else, that I really want to see the outreach. I really want to see the labors. I really want to see this prosperity on every level, because it's there. It's there, and I'm not seeing it, or I'm seeing bits of it. But I know you want me to have the full flavor, the full cup. You want my cup to be running over. You know, because you're the one that crowns me with loving kindness. You're the one that gives me tender mercies. When things are not going so great, then it's time to seek God. Then it's time to put on the brakes, be still, and go to God and ask him what you need to do. All of us need direction. All of us need vision. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We got the wonderful records of the scriptures that we can see these great examples of Joshua. We see David, we see Abraham, we see Jesus, we see Solomon. We see so many wonderful examples for our learning, and that we can see how the heart response to God has to be humble, and it is a putting away of our own ideas and receiving God's direction to our heart. So that's what we do. We let God work in us. We let God navigate the things. And, you know, even from me transitioning from the old way to this wonderful, more excellent way where results are happening, it took a little bit of time, you know, because I was used to doing things my way. I was used to doing it the way that I was taught before. Not that there was anything wrong with the things that were taught before, but maybe in the practice and some of the doctrine, it wasn't yielding the results, the fruitful results that God wants all of us to experience and have. And God is the one that gives us great expectation. You know, like I've been sharing with a few people lately, like, you know, God gives us not only faith, he supplies the faith through the heavenly words and through what is written, through the great and precious promises as well that are written, through these rhema words that are being spoken forth also. He builds our faith, and then he gives us expectation when we execute the things he's shown us. So, and I use these examples. So the example of how God can build our expectation, we go right to the era of honoring God with our substance, with our money. And if you think, if you don't honor God, say you're someone that likes to listen, you just get blessed hearing the teachings and sharing, and you're very, you know, more than welcome to do that, but you don't want to honor God, you don't really want to do the connection, you don't want to do these things. You know what? I'll let you know right now, I never ever turn anyone away from it. But I'll always speak the truth that if you want to take it on and move with it, because that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you what I'm actually doing and living and preaching. I'm not just speaking this. I'm actually living what I'm speaking. And I can say that with great confidence before God and before all of you, that when you take it to your heart and do that, you will really benefit. So with the honoring God, if you think, if we didn't give nothing, and God says, like, if you honor me, I'll bless you, then there would be nothing to expect if we didn't do that. We wouldn't expect from God, oh, well, God's kind, I know he'll take care of me, you know, he'll get me by here. But what does God say to you? What does God say? And I went through the scriptures with Carl Morton. We looked at the scriptures together, actually, and about the different records of where God really wants us to be successful in all of these areas, especially the finances. And it's so clear from the Old Testament to the New, and God hasn't changed. You know, he hasn't changed. The administrations might have changed, but how he operates and those principles will always be the same. I'll give you an example of how these principles will always be the same, as we read in Genesis 8:22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and winter, summer and something else shall not cease. Can I ask, yeah, go to it, Patty, get it up, love, and read it. Unmute your mic and read it out, please, sweetheart. Genesis 8:22.
Genesis 8:22. While the earth faineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Amen. Well, can I ask you a question? You can mute your mic now, Patty. Let me ask you this question. Does the earth still remain? You can unmute your mics if you want to say yes or no. Does the earth still remain?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it does, right? We're on it right now. So are those principles and laws still in operation?
Yes.
Do we see summer? Do we see winter? Do we see day? Do we see night? Do we see the changing of the light? Seed time and harvest. Okay, God says there's a time for sowing the seeds and there's a time for harvest time. You know, and your harvest according to what you sow. We see in Galatians, it says, you know, be not mocked. You know, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is showing us, he's not reproving us. He's correcting maybe some of our practices so that we can harness the best of what he's got. It's like, if negative thoughts come to your mind, you can either dwell on those negative thoughts, or you can harness it to think of and replace it with what God is saying, right? So then you're harnessing it. You're not allowing the negative to dominate, but you're allowing God's words to dominate, right? Because that God's word is a dominating force. And we also got to realize that words, whether they're God's words or the world's words, they are very powerful and they're very creative. So God, you know, he wants us to understand how things work. You know, he can give us the wisdom of those things, like he's taught me, even though it's been in the Bible for thousands of years. I've read many of those scriptures for many years and still never understood it until I put my heart to learn. So I put my heart, God, I really want to move. I really want to see the things happen. I really decide, how does this work? How? What do I do? Really badgering God, going to him, putting on his trousers. He had to slap me on the head because I pulled his trousers down otherwise. That's how much I was going on. God, you said ask, you said seek, you said knock, and I'm going to keep doing it until I get my answers. I'm not giving in. You told me to pray for laborers, and you'll give them. I'm still going to pray for those laborers from my heart because I desire it. I'm not just doing it because everybody else is telling me to do it and everybody else is doing it. I'm doing it. I want that laborer, and I'm not giving up because I know that you're faithful, and you have to show me where I'm wrong if I'm wrong anywhere. But I'm not even looking at that. You are faithful, God. So all these principles go to work. So when we operate in the laws and principles, I'm not on about the law of Moses. I'm on about the laws that govern this universe, the laws that govern us, like the law of gravity. You know, if you're stepping off a roof, baby, you are going down. Unless you've got a little propeller on your back or a jet pack on your back, and you can go up, right? How you overcome the law of gravity is the law of lift. That's how the planes get up in the air. You know, these guys that made the aeroplanes, they failed so many times trying to get it off the ground. But they've done it, and thanks to them, now we can fly to Philippines, we can fly to India, we can fly to USA, we can fly to Europe, right? Because these people didn't give in. And so with God, he wants us to have courage when we are up against it in any situation, and or where we've not seen anything happen. He says, you keep going, you keep searching for that truth. You keep digging, baby. You keep coming to me. I will show you. If you're hungry, I made a promise to you that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall absolutely be filled. If you want to know these truths, if you want your spiritual understanding enlightened, you know, through that spiritual wisdom of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you go to God. God says, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. I'll show you the knowledge of the holy. You ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. Now, if you want to see the manifestations of doing those things, then you have to do it. You have to make up your mind you're going to do that. So it's like we have to make up our minds to connect. Everyone on here is free. No one has to do anything. You are totally, 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 totally free. And I love that about our God. But I don't want to use my liberty as an occasion to the flesh to do the things that I want. I want to use that liberty to maximize the full blessings and calling and power and presence of God in my life so that God can do his work by me being his mouthpiece in the earth, because that's what we are. We are God's mouthpiece in the earth. We also are his sons and daughters. Yeah, he loves us and all that stuff. But we are his mouthpiece, the word and ministry of reconciliation. And I want God to be able to say, right, Lawrence is ready to go. Right, I'm going to send him over there. I'll go. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go, but I'll only go when I know it's you. I'm not going to go anymore in my own strength. I'm not going to go over this Jordan if it's me thinking that. I need it from you. And God is very big and clear to show us these things. So we got great hope. Look how we work with Abraham. Look how we work with Sarah. They hoped against hope. And he became the father of many nations. It's the same for us in different situations. If you think that we could become the fathers and mothers like Sarah was a mother and Abraham was a father to all these believers type of thing, the seed, we're the same. Because we're praying for laborers. You know, we're leading people to the new birth, speaking forth those heavenly words, showing about their faith and their confession, that they don't have to sacrifice their life. God is not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for obedience. And what does he want? What's the obedience? The obedience is If you shall say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is the confession, the faith and the confession. What you say with your mouth and believe in your heart will bring about the results that God wants you to have. When we sow our seed, it does the exact same thing. When we're doing it with the right heart, a pure heart, we're understanding why we're actually giving and where we're giving. We're actually understanding that we're not just going through the motions of how we were taught. God wants you to understand what you're doing. He really does. You think, well, I know about giving. I've been taught it. You know, I've taken a million classes on it. He wants you to really understand from your heart that when you're doing it unto him. And that he's actually going to maximize that seed. You're going to get the full potential of the seed when God's blessing is on it, right? He doesn't want that seed to grow up and then die off. Doesn't it say in Malachi, you know, that your fruit won't cast its summit before the time. You know, that the devourer won't be able to destroy the fruit of your ground. So this is what I understand from what I see, from what I've learned going to India and Nepal. These guys are moving in what I'm actually speaking. And we are also, but we need to step it up with God, because God wants you to understand. He's saying, look, tell the people, come to me and ask me for this understanding, I'll give it to them, if they mean business. And God wants you to continue, not to give up at the first hurdle. Someone says something on air and it ticks you off that you don't come back on. You can't have a mind like that. You can't be touched like that. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. These things don't affect us. You know, these negative words roll off us because we're filled with the Holy Spirit and our minds are clothed with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not so easily offended. And we're strong in the Lord and we see the good in people. When someone has upset me, I can go carnal and think, well, I'm not going to give them any of my time. You know, those thoughts come, by the way, don't get me wrong. But you know, I dismiss them. You know, I remember myself how many people I must have teed off. But, you know, God worked in them to give me grace. So it's grace upon grace upon grace. And that's how God's word's going to move in all these different areas. In your family life, God is working in your family life. You may not see anything going on, but you, believe me, if you're in it, God's doing something with it. He's doing something in the hearts of the people. Stay where you are. Don't go off to the left or to the right. But only be thou strong and very courageous. Continue in the things that God has given into you to do. If you're not seeing a laborer, so what? Are you with God? Do you trust him? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he's going to provide for you? It's up to God to give the laborers, not us. It is our job to speak forth the words as he opens the doors for us to do that. And it's not even up to us to go and open those doors. It's up to God to lead us to those doors or to lead people to us. And that is the most successful. And I've proven this in my own walk for myself. And I used to go out witnessing all the time. It never yielded anything. We've seen many healings, great healings, cancer, everything. No one ever come. No one ever pursued. But when it's a God-open doors, these people are hungry and they want to know. And they want to continue. They're not going to argue for every 5 minutes. They'll ask you questions, which is great. They're not going to be spinning their wheels with you. Because they're desiring, they're humble, they're meek, they're workable, they're platable. God can shape them and mold them as he wants them, as he's working in them and working in you. So I think we're all doing great. You know, doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter if you've got a cold. Doesn't matter if you've got the flu. Doesn't matter if you can't breathe. It doesn't matter if you've got a runny nose. Doesn't matter if you feel like you're dying. Listen, God is with us and we are healed by the stripes of Christ. We are delivered. We are set free. Anything that's lacking in anybody's body right now is being restored and made up right now. Whatever it is, whether you've had it for years, just receive these words. Jesus said to the guy with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand. You can read the record, look at the environment it was in. And this guy had faith to believe and he made the movement. And as he stretched it forth, bang, there was deliverance, there was direction, there was healing, there was glory to God. And so God is really with each and every one of us. Just continue where you are. Don't get disgruntled. Don't get impatient. Because God is faithful and we got the Spirit of God working us. We got that fruit of the Spirit. We know God's going to do his work. So when everybody else is freaking out, I'm relaxing. I'm speaking in tongues. I know God's going to make a way where there seems no way. I know God's going to do something. He's going to pull something out of the hat. He's going to bless me in my day. He keeps me going every day. He gives me things to be rejoicing in every day. And I expect it from God. God wants you to expect from him. Just like when you're on your seed, God says expect to receive back. That's why I've given it for you to do, not just to honor me and worship me, so that when you believe it, I'll multiply that back. Believe what I said I'm going to do. And if I've given you authority and you use it, believe that what's going to happen will happen. And again, it starts with the words. Our words are very powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it should eat the fruit thereof. We want to start speaking like God. And God calls those things which are not as though they were. God says, light be and light became. We've got that authority in us. We've got the seed of God in us. We've got that spirit of the living God in us. It's called Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've got great authority. As he is, so are we in this world. We need to believe it. We need to start speaking it. And yes, I know sometimes when we do have these different ailments and things going on, it, you know, you get fatigued a little bit, and just then you take rest. Just take rest. Get yourself replenished. Father, you replenish me, and you take care of this. You know, I'm healed. I declare what you say. You sent your word and healed me and delivered me from all my destruction. I am the head and not the tail. I am complete in Christ. Satan has no authority over me or this situation. I command him out now. Get out. Spirits, take a leap, and you leave, and you restore anything you've stolen. And you do it now in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the authority we got. And so anyway, this is what was working in my heart to share with you. And thank you for listening.